Jessie and I with you this morning. Now, earlier this week, we saw New England MP Barnaby Joyce take up the Deputy Prime Ministership. He joins me this morning. Barnaby, how you doing?
Well, yes, obviously it's been flat out. And last night, I got first decent night's sleep. Got 500 messages on literally on my phone. And it's an incredible honour. I've come at it for actually a third time. I've been elected to it three times. And But I don't let it get to my head. It gives our electorate in the upper 100 New England a further opportunity at the highest level to try and get things done. Mm. It comes at a price. You can't get around as much as you used to. But it's something that you do for your nation. And of course, that being the case, you do it to the very best of your abilities, which is not too hard because what you try to do with everything else.
Yeah, exactly right. There's certainly been some differing opinions of your electing to the role this morning. Carl Stefanovic described you as a pebble in his RM boot. The Prime Minister, though, said you're a wind in his sails. So,
well, Carl would say that because I'm on Sunrise. He's opposing channel. What I can say is that when we do Sunrise, the ratings go through the roof. They like it. So, I mean, it's the job of Channel 9 to run down Channel 7, and I'm not really a part of either, but, you know, I can understand what they say. If I'd gone on their program, they would have said I was a wonderful person. That's how it works.
Some differing thoughts in the electorate as well, I know, from some people that I've spoken to, particularly the female contingent of the electorate, not, you know, totally happy with you being voted in as the deputy PM and leader of the National Party based on, you know, previous things that have happened.
Well, if they base it on a marriage breakdown, I understand that, right? If they base it on other spurious allegations, I don't, because if you start basing your opinions on rumours, then we're all in trouble. And the next thing I would say is some women don't like me, and they have every right to, and I get that, and I respect that. And other people do like me, and I have to say some blokes don't like me, some blokes can't stand me, and that's called life. And if you put yourself forward in politics, you're going to get both.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Certainly a lot going on in Parliament this week. We've got the Prime Minister in isolation after coming back from overseas. COVID, a big topic of conversation. The vaccine rollout particularly, I think everyone I've spoken to this week are talking about the fact that they want to go on the vaccine, but they simply can't. You know, talking about the UK who vaccinated so many people, and here in Australia we just can't seem to vaccinate enough fast enough.
Well, we're heading towards 7 million people vaccinated, along with either first or first and second shots. The big issue, I believe, Jess, is yesterday in the UK, 58 people died. Throughout the world, in excess of 2 million people have died since the start of the year. In Australia, not one death since the start of the year, except one person who came in from overseas, but of course, they didn't catch the disease in Australia, they caught it overseas. Mm. Now, that is a record that really matters. We don't get vaccinated just for the vaccination purpose. We get vaccinated so we don't get sick or don't die. And the vaccine is one process of that. Remember, the vaccine itself is not perfect protection. It's vastly better protection, and it's essential you get it, but it's not perfect protection. Policy of how you don't come in contact with the disease and how we shut it down quickly is what ultimately saves lives. And Australia has been there. Nobody else has more success than zero cases in their nation since the start of the year.
Mm. Why can't we speed up the rollout, though? I mean, you know, if people are sitting here going, we want to get vaccinated, why can't it just happen?
Because the people we signed agreements with, welched on their agreements in Europe. And they did it on the premise of what I just said. They said, well, we know we have a contract with you, but other places, people are dying. In Australia, they're not. So we're sending the vaccine there. We said, well, that's not what you agreed to. And they said, tough luck.
Mm. Another issue this week, Barnaby, that was being spoken about this morning is around the Murray-Darling Basin. The Nationals and the Liberals not really seeing eye to eye on this one.
Well, it's a big issue for people in the southern part of the basin. It's their jobs. It's their area. I understand and have sympathy with the issue they're bringing up, because they've seen, just like we protect coal jobs in the Hunter, they're trying to protect irrigation jobs on the Murray. It's, you know, it's a big issue. It's an issue that was litigated in cabinet before I arrived back. I haven't actually been to a formal cabinet meeting yet. So it's a ball that I picked up, but I was never part of the people who kicked it to me.
Did the Nationals blindside the Libs down in South Australia on this one?
No, maybe they did. I mean, I don't think anybody was blindsided by the fact that it was a real problem, a big issue, and you know it's the process in the Senate. They maybe blindsided on that them on that. That's a fair call, but the issue, no, everybody knew it was a huge issue.
Yeah. Well, Barnaby, I'm sure Parliament is going to be a bit more spicy with you as Deputy Prime Minister. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
And the big thing for the Upper Hunter is I'm going to use it to the best of my ability to get a better deal for them.
Exactly what we want to hear.